Cabal's become very popular today. So I just set the record straight with regard to what are the facts about Kabbalah and what is fiction. I mean, what is simply things that are made up by people that are just following their emotions and have no basis in the system of Yahadis. It's extremely important, I think, you should understand these things. For yourself, I mean, of course, and then also for others. All right? There are a lot of people that claim authenticity of Kabbalistic writings, and they base themselves on these writings, and what they do is they feel that through reading these things that they rise to a higher level, and a higher level of perfection, and they indulge in this, and they consider it to be something which is higher than the ordinary understanding, places a person on a higher level, they think, closer to God than others who don't have access to this type of knowledge. Okay? And it makes them more holy and superior, and gives them a greater place in the Olam Haba, and etc., etc. Okay, so I would just like to go into some of the things, some basic facts that we have about Kabbalah, and these facts are from Rishonim and from Gemaras and from Mishnayos. Okay, I want you to listen carefully to what the Rambam says. All right, there's someone that even claimed that the Rambam was a Mekubal. I mean, you have to be very careful about claims that people make who are Amei Aretz, who don't really know anything, are not Lamdanim, and also, you have to be also careful about certain things that are in writing that are false, because there were many people that wrote things that were lies, forged documents in the names of the Ramban and the Rambam. This practice is known, that especially people who are inferior people who are emotional, that in order to, for them, I mean, there is a psychology that people who are into areas that are not in reality, they're very disturbed if someone doesn't accept their ideas. So this itself is very disturbing, and they'll do anything in order to get other people convinced that what they believe in is correct. The fact that somebody else doesn't believe in it is an open question to them, which disturbs them, and they feel they must eradicate this, because to them reality basically is a psychological phenomenon, and it's a phenomenon which is based on what people believe. They feel that if people believe it, it's true. This is a very strong emotion among religious-minded people. Goyim, of course, have this emotion to the highest degree. That's why the Goy always tried to convince the Jew about his Avodah Zarah, because they can't tolerate the mere existence of people that deny it. Itself is the biggest question, because the thing isn't based on any kind of reality. If a person knows something from reality, a person is a scientist and knows physics, it doesn't disturb him if someone thinks physics is crazy, because his mind tells him that it's true. But if a person doesn't have any knowledge, it's not his conviction is not based on knowledge, his conviction is just based on his own emotions. If another person seems to exist very well without this and denies it, this itself raises a doubt in the believer's mind, and the believer is intent on believing, and he has to convince or destroy the other person in order to prove to himself that what he believes in is true. That's why Goyim, I mean, it's a pasuk basically. Tzofa Rosh al Tzadik Mavakesh Lamisa. Mavakesh Lamisa. It means that the Russia can't tolerate the mere existence of the Tzaddik as a pircha, because the existence of the Tzaddik shows that his way is corrupt. So he must destroy the Tzaddik. That's the emotion. Anyone whose conviction is based on emotions always has doubts, and they must have these beliefs. And anyone that doesn't believe it always represents the brings to their mind the doubt. Because look, this person doesn't think it's true; they're getting along fine. So they must either convince the other person or destroy them. Okay, that's basically all people that have a need, that their convictions come from an emotional need. It's satisfying some part of the mind, the fantasy part of the mind, that these people must have and must be attached to, and therefore if somebody else doesn't accept it, this is the biggest question, they must go out either to destroy them or else to convince them. So that's why you have all these forged letters in the name of the Rambam, forged letters in the name of the Ramban, because these people had to convince others, and of course they would always take the biggest people, and how do you convince others? Take the biggest people and write letters in their name and try to pass it off as authentic. So we have a history of those kind of writings. And you have to be very careful when you see anything in the name of the Rambam or the Ramban or any of those. So I'm very careful to determine whether it's authentic. There are the authentic ones, but there are writings which are very spurious, very doubtful, and many which are definitely forged. Okay. But I just want to read to you about what the Rambam writes about Kabbalah. And it's in his Hakdama to the third part of the Mor Nevuchim, where he expounds on Maaseh Merkava. Before he expounds on, before he goes into, really, I mean, this is the heart of his work, the Maaseh Merkava, the vision of Ezekiel. And he states as follows. He says like this. Some people have said this. Some people have tried to claim that the Rambam is a Kabbalist. You'll read yourself. Now he says like this. The Rambam says, we have also stated that these subjects belong to the mysteries of the law. You are well aware how our sages blame those who reveal these mysteries and praise the merits of those who keep them secret, although they are perfectly clear to the philosopher. In this sense, they explain the passage, her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently, which concludes in the original with the words, I need a pasuk. That these blessings are promised to him who hides things which the Eternal has revealed to him, the mysteries, which is the mysteries of the law. Okay. Okay, so the pasuk is called pasuk Yeshayahu, Voyasachro ve'esnana kodesh l'Hashem lo yetzol lo yechosin ki layoshim ufnei Hashem yeyasachro lechol l'sovo ulemachase otik. So he says. So therefore, the person that has the knowledge must, of necessity, even though he understands these things clearly, must of necessity conceal them. Okay. Nasalikas, if you have understanding, you will comprehend that which our sages pointed out. They have clearly stated that the divine chariot includes matters too deep and too profound for the ordinary intellect. It has been shown that a person favored by providence with reason to understand these mysteries is forbidden by the law to teach them except viva voce, which means bal peh, and on the condition that the pupil possesses certain qualities, and even then only the heads of the sections may be communicated. Okay, only Rashi Prakim, the Gemara, the Mishnah in Chagiga. This has been the cause why the knowledge of this mystery has entirely disappeared from our nation and nothing has remained of it. Okay, this was unavoidable, for the explanation of these mysteries was always communicated viva voce, bal peh. It was never committed to writing. Such being the case, how can I venture to call your attention to such portions of it as may be known, intelligible, and perfectly clear to me? But if, on the other hand, I were to abstain from writing on the subject according to my knowledge of it, when I die, as I shall inevitably do, that knowledge would die with me, and I would thus inflict great injury on you and all those who are perplexed by these theological problems. I would then be guilty of withholding the truth from those to whom it ought to be communicated, and of jealously depriving the heir of his inheritance. I should in either case be guilty of gross misconduct. Okay. So, at any rate, What does the Rambam say up to this point? I mean, basically, what does the Rambam say? I don't know if you grasp the import of what the Rambam has said up to this point. Is anybody, can anybody summarize basically what the Rambam said up to this point? He said a very important thing. But, you know, the Rambam's way is hard to see, you know, hard to see it when you just read it through. But he's saying basically there cannot be any such thing as a Kabbalah b'chsav. It's literally impossible. That's what he's saying. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is that anyone that claims that they have Kabbalistic writings must, by definition, be a fraud. That's what he's saying. Okay? Why? Because the Mishnah in Chagiga says that you cannot give it over to anyone except Baal Peh. Even then, it can only be given over to a certain type of person. Okay? And even to that type of person, you're only allowed to give over Rosh HaPerkim. Okay? So basically what the Rambam has stated is that anyone that claims that they have any Kabbalistic writings that are authentic are by definition fraudulent. Okay? Because of the fact that the Mishnah openly assers the transmission of such material through not only through writing, but even Baal Peh. Even Baal Peh to the wrong person. You see? See, you cannot say over here, for instance, the Teresh Baal Peh in general was always supposed to be Baal Peh, and it was Baal Peh until Chachmei Yisrael decided that it's Eis Las Lashem Eferet HaSecha. Okay? So therefore, they were mati to write down the Mishnah in time of Yehuda Nasi, and then the Shas later in time of Avinu Rav Ashi, and then the Siddur later in time of Rambam Goyen, etc., etc. And the Balei Tosfos and so forth and so on. Always written, it was written down only when you had a mati, because Eis Las is Lashem. But you're not allowed to write down Teresh Baal Peh. But Teresh Baal Peh, the reason why you're not allowed to write it down is not because the statements themselves have to be concealed and cannot be given over to everybody. Because Teresh Baal Peh is for everybody. Okay? So the only thing is that there's a danger that's given over to everybody, that the wrong people will have access to it and they'll make false claims like we have today, conservatives and reformed Jews, that they say we have the Talmud too. So therefore our interpretation of Talmud is just as good as yours. So that was the danger. And that is the danger, and that's that danger has come into existence. But over there, it's not the material itself which is dangerous. You understand what I'm saying? It's not the material itself which is dangerous. It's a danger in general for the system. So that they were matir. But over here, the Rambam says this material in specific is dangerous, and therefore there's an iser gomor to expose it to anyone, except in a certain way, Baal Peh, and except to a certain individual. And only certain material. Okay? So therefore the Rambam says, that's exactly what the Rambam says. You look carefully what he wrote. He says like this. He says that, this has been the cause why the knowledge of this mystery has entirely disappeared from our nation, and nothing has remained of it. It's not the Rambam is saying that some people say, well, the Rambam didn't have the Kabbalah. Not the Rambam didn't have the Kabbalah. The Rambam said there cannot be Kabbalah. It's impossible. That's what he's saying. Because the Mishnah Chagiga, which the Mishnah Chagiga states openly, you're not permitted to write it down. You're not permitted to give it over to anyone except under certain conditions. So it's an Isser Gomer to do so, and therefore anyone that says they have writings of Kabbalah must of necessity be liars. Cannot be true. Okay? So the Mishnah Chagiga basically states, quite clearly, the Mishnah and the Gemaras, that there cannot be any such thing. It's non-existent. Kabbalistic writings cannot be in existence. Okay.
Yeah.
So you have a serious problem. Because if you said the people who know it are only the highest level people know it. This is the Rambam explains. The only one that can understand Kabbalah is only the ones who are on the highest level. And Rambam explained this in the beginning. Anyone that has any kind of imperfection whatsoever will never be able to grasp the ideas. Even if he has an imperfection in terms of midos, he will not only in terms of midos, but even if he's, I'll read to you later, what the Gemara is basically. So therefore, anyone that has the real interpretation has got to be perfected. If he's perfected, he can't violate the law and give it over to others. So if you have it, that means somebody wrote it. If they wrote it, so they wrote a Bisa. If they wrote a Bisa, so they're not perfected, so then they're fraudulent. Either way, the Rambam states, based on the Mishnah Chagiga, there's basically no way to answer the statement of Rambam. Rambam's quite clear. The Rambam is basing it on the Mishnah. That's what he says. The Mishnah says it's Osir. Osir can't be. So anyone that claims they have Kabbalistic writings have got to be lying. Okay. The Nevi'im concealed it. The Nevi'im, that's why it's written in a cryptic way. You read the Yecheskel. You don't understand a word of it. Okay, Shayel, Yecheskel. Ma'aseh Makkavah, you can't understand what it's talking about. So it's written in a totally hidden way. But Chazal had interpretations of the Psukim of Yecheskel and Yeshayahu, but those interpretations were only, that's what I was talking about, because those are the parshiyos basically that have Ma'aseh Makkavah, is in Yecheskel and Yeshayahu. So those two areas, Chazal knew what these things meant, some of Chazal knew, but it was only given over under certain circumstances and was never permitted to be committed to writing. Okay. So the Rambam said that what he did was something totally different. And you'll ask me a question, well, so what did the Rambam do? So the Rambam explains. So the Rambam says, first of all, the Rambam says like this. It says, to give a full explanation of the mystic passages of the Bible is contrary to the law and to reason. Besides, he says, my knowledge of them is based on reasoning, not on divine inspiration, and is therefore not infallible. Okay, the Rambam didn't claim that his knowledge was based on anything else but his own reason. I have not received my belief in this respect from any teacher, but it has been formed by what I learned from Scripture and the utterances of our sages and by the philosophical principles which I have adopted. Okay? It is therefore possible that my view is wrong and that I misunderstood the passages referred to. Okay? So the Rambam says, you notice, he says, I did not receive my belief in this respect from any teacher. What does Kabbalah mean? What is the definition of Kabbalah? Kabbalah means received. Received, received. Okay. So the Rambam states he never received anything. Which means to say that anyone that claims that the Rambam's a Bala Kabbalah is absolutely out of their mind. And because the Rambam says openly, he never received anything from anybody. Okay? So the Rambam, now the question of course is how could the Rambam write this down? So the Rambam explains. He says, correct thought and divine help, this is Ruach HaKodesh basically, he says, have suggested to me the proper method to explain the words of the prophet Ezekiel in such a manner that those who will read my interpretation will believe that I have not added anything to the contents of the text, but only, as it were, translated from one language into another, or given a short exposition of plain things. Those, however, for whom this treatise has been composed, will, on reflecting on it and thoroughly examining each chapter, obtain a perfect and clear insight into all that has been clear and intelligible to me. This is the utmost that can be done in treating the subject so as to be useful to all without fully explaining it. Okay? And then he says, study the chapters that follow. And he says, okay, fine. So you see, so the Rambam says basically what he wrote is not Kabbalah. Okay, first of all, it's not the Kabbalah. Okay? And secondly, secondly, he wrote it in a way that anyone that reads it simply will not be able to understand it unless they're on the level. So again, there are no writings in Kabbalah that are accessible or that were ever written down in a way that someone who comes along and reads it, even the Rambam says he's the first one to do this. This was his own thing, and Ruach HaKodesh helped him to work it out. He worked out with his mind and with Ruach HaKodesh, and he, because of the situation and his times, he felt that he had to do this. Okay, but this was never the method before, and anything from before was a new method that he in his time did. This was never, and even what he did is not anything that anyone can point to or can say that it was that it was written down, because he didn't write down any ideas of Kabbalah, just hints and allusions. Okay? Well, whatever you want to call it. Okay. Whatever. Okay? Now he says he didn't the understanding didn't come to him through Ruach HaKodesh, but the method of how to do this did come to him through Ruach HaKodesh. That's what he says. Okay? Ezer Elokim. So you see, the Rambam held that there was a Masorah of the exact interpretation of the Psukim, which was completely lost, and he is trying to, in his mind, he's trying to reconstruct it from the knowledge that he had, but he says it could be that's not the Pshat in the Pasuk, because there's no Masorah on it. In order to know if it's the Pshat in the Pasuk, you must have a Masorah. So he does not know, okay? But nevertheless, the ideas that he's conveying are deep ideas, and the correct ideas. Whether this is the Meiser Markova Misinai is not known. He doesn't know himself. Okay, he himself doesn't know. Okay, yeah. If before I get to the Ramban's position is different than the Rambam's position, but. The thing is, you see, you have to understand that people just have, because of their low level, and because of their desire, which is basically another expression of the low level of their perfection. So what they do is, whenever they see something that's in line with their emotions, they'll immediately try to tack it on to someone like the Ramban. Okay. Well, you will see that the Kabbalah that's going on today has nothing whatsoever to do with the Ramban. Nothing whatsoever to do with the Ramban. It has more, what it really has to do with is ideas that Goyim have presented to the world. And these people, these ideas stem from very primitive sources, and these people who espouse these ideas are also primitive, and that's why they're attracted to them. Okay. But before I do that, Before I do that, I really would like to just to explain to you what is meant really, a little more on the Rambam, I'll get to the Rambam soon. What is meant really by Kabbalah? What is meant by Kabbalah? Okay? What do we mean by this Kabbalah? Okay? And the Rambam explains it in the beginning of the Mara. All right? But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take this. This is a question of the order. I'll take you with the Geras Ramban. There is an authentic Geras Ramban that he wrote to the people of France. The people of France, the Rabbanei Tzofas, they were upset with the Rambam's writings. And there was a time, as you know, there was a move to put the Rambam's writings in Cheren, the Mar Nevuchim, and the Sefer Amada. Okay? So this came to the attention of the Ramban. And the Ramban said... So the Ramban wrote, I'm not going to quote the whole Igeris, it's a beautiful Igeris. He writes about the greatness of the Rambam and how the Rambam's ideas in Kol HaTorah Kulo are astounding. And he says, Vim Yalal Libchem Mikzas Migzeraschem Val Kain Sefer Mora Hanavuchem Yachiku. He says, and if you think that you're going to, because of your own concepts, you want to be marchik the sefer of the mora, the sefer mora hanavuchim, umedaber beinyonov sifsosom, umedaber beinyonov sifsosom yadbiku. He says those who speak about it, who are their lips should stick together, cling together. Kilibam kemachat tzidkis, because those are speaking, they have a heart like the opening of a needle, small needle. Lo yedu drachav, they don't understand the Rambam's methods. Ubinisivosov loheamiku, they have never understood the Rambam's ways of thinking. This is what the Ramban is writing. Ma yomru l'sefer hamada, what will they say about the sefer hamada that the Rambam wrote? And the Ramban writes v'amichtov michtav elokim asher ha'atiko. So the Ramban writes about the sefer hamada, the Rambam. That's michtav elokim. Okay. Niftach l'sifrei Rav Zal b'Talmud u'mavo l'chol chiburov. Sofer mitzvos Hashem asei v'los asei. Melamed l'talmidim kovod u'mor bilchus Talmud Torah. Yorech atoyim derech bilchus tshuva. U'benachas v'shuva. U'beli kushis v'havayis. Mapik margolius. Ramban is made of the Rambam. Pearls. Kilo motzinu divrei tshuva b'Talmud. Rak mufuzarim u'mufurodim. All the Ram's Hilchos Tshuva, he's astounded how the Ram put together Hilchos Tshuva. He says, the only few things in Chazal scattered throughout the Talmud, he says, Bein ha'alachas v'agadas bilti burim, not clear. He says, V'chol chibure geinim arishonim v'achronim lo motzino osam inyonim, jushim l'chol cheftzehem u'mezumonim, kashahem ha'mufurashim u'mevu'orim b'sefer ahu ha'memula b'fninim, ha'meyusid b'sapirim mi'bachutzu mi'bafnim. Okay? Brother Ramban writes about the Rambam, about the Rambam's Sefer HaMadon and Sefer HaTshuva. Anyone that has any understanding sees the brilliance, the greatness of the Rambam. And he talks about the Marne Ruchim. Those who criticize the Marne do not understand what he's talking about. Okay? So I just want to, anyone that thinks that the Ramban did not respect the Rambam in terms of his Sefer Marne Ruchim and Sefer HaMadon, are completely, it's completely erroneous. They just do not understand. It's a wish of theirs because they despise what the Rambam wrote, because what the Rambam wrote in the Sefer Amar Nevuchim and the Sefer Amada goes against their own emotions and their own fantasies and their own imagination. And that's why they despise what he wrote, because they don't understand what he's talking about. That's the Rambam. Okay? Just to give you a little idea. All right. You understand yourself. Any Baal Sech will understand. You see how many times the Ramban quotes the Marne Ruchim in his Pirush on Chumash. Ramban would never quote anything that he thought was banal, was not the greatest Chachma. Okay? It's because the Ramban argues. Rishonim always argue. It's just Namaritz. That there's no derech that Rishonim speak and Chazal talk very tough to one another. It's a derech of Melchamta Shel Torah, because Chazal, the method of Chazal is that when you're arguing in thought, it's not a time to be polite. That's not, you can't have any emotion. You have to look for the MS, and what does Chazal say? If you see a Talmud Chacham that gets angry, a Raisa Hu Debar Abe. It's not his emotions, it's his zeal for knowledge. Okay, and zeal for knowledge, you have to put away all kinds of niceties and social graces. It's not the place of social graces. That's the that's the Masorah of Chazal. Okay, so I want to set you straight about the Ramban's opinion of the Rambam and the Sefer Marne Ruchim and the Sefer Amada. And I'll tell you straight out, all these today's Kabbalists, you can't give them, they can't go too far, more than a few yards, before they will go against one of the principles in Sefer HaMadah, without a question. Every time. And once they do that, according to everybody, the Ramban, they simply have forfeited Yesod Hadas, just fall by the wayside because of their crazy emotions. The notion that an individual has a chelek elokam imal, which means that God is subject to division, that is a denial of Achdus Hashem. It's a denial of Achdus Hashem, and yet they teach this in every cheder, that it's chelek, like the part of God is in every person. And it's a Hashem Echad, it's a denial of Achdus Hashem. Or they immediately, as soon as they go into their things, they immediately deny Yesod Hadas. And they do it with religious fervor, because because what is burning inside them is not really any kind of knowledge of these things, but just primitive emotions. And if you really, if you really study the people that espouse these things, you'll find very quickly that their ideas are really basically avodah zarah ideas. Basically, they always wind up that way. Okay. And there are even many of the people who claim to be great Kabbalists are machshiv osoish, because they won't say it openly, but they do privately say such things. And the reason is very simple, because the oso ha'ish approach is precisely their approach, and that's why osoish falls in line with their way of thinking. Because it's the full expression of the primitive. Yeah. Full expression of the primitive is found in that philosophy. Because that's where it came from. Okay? And that's why they're attracted to it like a magnet. They won't admit it up front, But when you speak to them privately, you get a little closer on the inside, that's what they really hold. Okay. So basically, they go away from Yesod Yados because of their primitivism, and they really embrace Avodah Zarah. I would just like to explain what the Rambam says in the Mora, which is not even a part of his philosophy of the Mora, but where he explains about the study of metaphysics and the very idea of what is Ma'aseh Merkavah and how does it work. Okay, so the Rambam explains. He says like this. And the Rambam is in chapter 33. So the Rambam says that it's very injurious to begin teaching a person the metaphysics of Ma'aseh Merkavah. All right? And he says like this. He says, on the contrary, it is necessary to initiate the young and to instruct the less intelligent according to their comprehension. Okay? Those who appear to be talented and to have capacity for the higher method of study, that based on proof and on true logical argument, and on true logical argument, should be gradually advanced towards perfection either by tuition or by self-instruction. He, however, who begins with metaphysics will not only become confused in matters of religion, but will fall into complete infidelity. Okay? Which means to say he'll become an Epicurus. Okay? I compare such a person to an infant fed with wheaten bread, meat, and wine. It will undoubtedly die, not because such food is naturally unfit for the human body, but because of the weakness of the child who is unable to digest the food and cannot derive benefit from it. The same is the case with the true principles of science. They were presented in enigmas. Science, Ram, doesn't mean what we mean by science. You understand it? It means chachma. They were presented in enigmas, translation is bad, clad in riddles and taught by all wise men in the most mysterious way that could be devised, not because they contain some secret evil or are contrary to the fundamental principles of the law, as fools think, who are only philosophers in their own eyes, but because of the incapacity of man to comprehend them at the beginning of his studies. Okay? Only slight allusions have been made to them to serve for the guidance of those who are capable of understanding them. These sciences were, again, science is not the proper term, these chachmas were therefore called metaphysics, sodos, the secrets of the law, sisrei Torah, as we shall explain. Okay? What did the Rambam say over here? You see, you have to understand, when you read the Rambam, it's current, because these people exist today just like they did exactly in the time of the Rambam. Rambam knew these people. These people are not a new phenomena. They'll try to have you believe that they're like a new cut, you know, made new discoveries. They're not new discoveries. It's the same primitive emotions that exist in the time of the Rambam, and those same people existed in his time too, and it's precisely what he was talking about. Okay? So what does the Rambam say, if you want to summarize this paragraph? What did the Rambam say, basically? It's an important statement the Rambam is making over here. And you have to unravel the statement. What is he saying? Okay? Basically, I'll tell you what he's saying. He's saying like this, that there are no new methods of comprehension, you see, like new types of meditation or different trances that take a person into various so-called transcendental states which give them great knowledge. You see, that's basically what the Rambam is saying. He's saying the reason why it's a secret is because the person simply isn't on a level to understand the idea. Because they don't have enough, their intellectual faculty is not developed properly. That's why it's called a secret. Secret means you can't understand it, like the Soda Ibor. Chaim Zimmern always mentions this. Chaim Zimmern makes a very good statement in one of his books. He says, Jewish mysticism is a misnomer. It's a Tarte de Sasri. If it's really Jewish, it's not mystical. Mystical is not Jewish. And it's true. The Soda Ibor. What's Soda Ibor? So, the word so. Oh, so it's secret. Soda Ibor is a secret. What does it mean? It means astronomical calculation. It's called a Soda because Soda means it's not accessible to every individual. Very complicated, very difficult. You have to know mathematics and astronomy. So it's called Soda Ibor. It's not a Soda Ibor. It's some kind of a mystical Soda. It's astronomical phenomena. But soda is always used when something is not known to the masses, not understood to the masses. It's called a soda because they can't comprehend it. It's only known by a few people. Okay, that's what. Of course, also it also is true that it's called a sod because it's supposed to be concealed from the masses. Okay, concealed from the masses. That's really Sisrei Torah, means that you're not allowed to reveal it. Okay, Sisrei Torah. So there's a difference between you say sod or you say Sisrei Torah. Sisrei Torah is more. Sisrei Torah means that it has to be kept a sesa. Okay, but sod means it's a sod. Sod means something which only a chacham understands. So the Rambam is saying in essence that there are no other means of comprehension other than the human intellect, the mind, the intelligence, and that's it. And if there are no other methods of meditative methods which these Kabbalists all claim, that new types of thinking, new types of transcendental revelatory processes. I mean, all this is nonsense. That's the best way to Rambam says. Okay, and it's just a basic thing. No one disagrees with this, or Ramban or anybody. Okay, so therefore you see immediately the claims of these so-called these Kabbalists today are completely false, because what they lay claim to is different methods that are beyond reason, other kind of methods that through which they can ascertain truths. No such thing exists. This Ram makes it clear as a basic concept in the Gemara. This is not even getting into any specifics. Okay, with the Ramban, everybody agrees with this basic principle. If the Ramban thought this principle was wrong, you understand, he would never say that the Mar Nevuchim is a deep thing. He completely disagrees with the whole approach. he completely disagrees with the basics. Ramban does not disagree with that. Okay. Also, I'll tell you something else which I think is important, because I think the Ram didn't write these things down just for no reason at all. He wrote them down because they're practical, and they're practical in his day, and the same practicality today. There's no difference in man, has not changed over the centuries. The same person, same emotions. The Rambam knew these emotions very well. He understood these people, and they're all in here. I mean, they're all in here. But the Rambam explains, he says there are five reasons why a person should not start with the study of, should not engage in the study of metaphysics. Okay? First, he says that the subject is very difficult, very profound. You have to be a great chacham. Then he says, intellective man is insufficient. Then he says the preparatory studies take a long time. It takes a little, like the Rambam says, in Akdama to the Yad, that he, in Shas itself, he says it takes a very brilliant mind, he says, and a broad scoped mind, and also many years until a person sees the true derech to understand the Talmud. Now that's the Talmud. This is even more than the Talmud, more difficult than the Talmud, more abstract. Like it is divrei nevuah. So the Rambam says that people don't have the patience, because people, people want to know right away. They don't have the patience to study. And he gives a marshal over here and this and that. Then he goes through, he says that, only very few people, after all these things, you need a certain type of mind, very few people remain. But he says the fourth reason, fourth reason is taken from the physical constitution of man. Just the way a person is. He says, it has been proved that moral conduct is a preparation for intellectual progress, and that only a man whose character is pure, calm, steadfast, can attain to intellectual perfection. Okay? That is, acquire correct conceptions. And this is a yesod in Yadus, that a person who is a baltaiva can never really learn metaphysics. The reason is because Yadus maintains that what a person, if a person desires reality to be a certain way, then his mind is closed to other possibilities. And a person is a baltaiva, the way a person lives directly affects his inner will. And if a person lives a life of taiva, he has to justify it in some way, and he has to want reality to be in line with his way of life. This closes immediately all the doors to certain area of ideas which he could never perceive, because his emotions will never permit him. Whether it's taiva in terms of physical eating, sex, or that, or whether it's taiva in terms of emotional ego or whatever it might be, any kind of distortion in the human personality will close the gates, prevent him from ever seeing certain ideas. He can't see them; it's impossible. That's what the That's the yesod in Yahadis. And if a person understands that idea, it is extremely, it's very true that it's impossible. Then it's like this. He says also, he says, not everybody is constituted in a way that they can be perfected. Okay? And many men are naturally so constituted that all perfection is impossible. Just a part of the teva. He says certain people that are very libidinous people, okay, libidinous by nature, physically, he says, they could never really attain perfection. He says you also find persons of great levity and rashness, whose excited manners and wild gestures prove that their constitution is in disorder and their temperament so bad that it cannot be cured. Okay? Such persons can never attain to perfection. It is utterly useless to occupy oneself with them on such a subject as metaphysics. For this science is, as you know, different from the science of medicine and of geometry. Mathematics, be a great mathematician and be a mishugana. There were plenty of them. But not in this area, because in this area, mathematics, you have the elements of math that you're dealing with that have nothing to do with the personality. So your mind has nothing to do with the... completely neutral. Neutral, but this is not neutral. This is an understanding of existence, all existence, and this is not neutral material. And your mind, the doors are going to be closed if you want reality to be a certain way. And the way you live determines very much the reality that you want to see. You want to exist and your mind is closed. Okay? He says, from the reason already mentioned, it is not every person who is capable of approaching it. And he says like this. He says, he mentions before, he says a person who is... whose heart is very warm and is himself very powerful. He means that a certain type of personality that's very physical is sure to be passionate. He can't help himself. He's a passionate person, though he tries to counteract that disposition by training. He says such a person will not easily refrain from sin, even if he makes great efforts to restrain himself. The Rambam recognized that certain people, by a bit teva, by nature, even though they try to restrain themselves, they'll never be able to really be perfected. Okay? And that's an intrinsic limitation that they have. Such people can't really do anything about it. And he says, as much as they try, they will not be successful. He says, is surely to be passionate, though he tries to counteract that disposition by training, he will not be able to do it. And then he says also, one who is very libidinous will not easily refrain from sin, even though he makes great efforts to restrain himself. So there, in other words, what the Rambam is saying is basically that there are intrinsic limitations and not everyone is simply capable. Some people just have to recognize that they're just not capable of such a level of perfection. And no matter how much they try, they're never going to be able to get there. Okay? That's basically what the Rambam says. Yeah. Well, he means physiological and psychological. He doesn't pin it down. I mean, it means a certain libidinous nature, I guess, would be the modern way to put it. I mean, they're not capable of high levels of sublimation. I mean, what? Psychologically. I mean, the end is always psychological, but it might be due to physical constitution. I mean, I don't know. Maybe physical and biological in cause. But the bottom line is that they're not really capable of sublimating their energies away from the areas of the physical or psychological satisfaction, and that means the end of the line. They simply, no matter how much they try and train themselves, they simply cannot do it. Okay? Yes? Now, Shas they could learn, but the area of metaphysics is closed off to them. There's no question. I mean, the Rambam before says that the ones that are capable of doing this are very, very, very few. Okay? Very few. So is it Rove? Yeah, definitely Rove. Okay. Now, he says, just give you an example. A good example he gives, I think it's an important thing. Where he goes back again, he says, he speaks about a person that is very good. He says, others are intelligent and naturally clear-sighted, able to convey complicated ideas in concise and well-chosen language. Such a person is called a good orator. but he has not been engaged in the pursuit of science or has not acquired any knowledge of it. Those who have virtually acquired a knowledge of the sciences are called wise in arts. The Hebrew term is wise in arts, chacham charashim. Has been explained in the Talmud as implying that when such a man speaks, all, as it were, become speechless. He means to say that the level of chacham is so great that such an individual, when he speaks, people recognize, like Rabbi Nasi. Rabbi Nasi, when he sat down, nobody said anything. Because he was so much greater than everybody else that people realize that that's it. It's chacham charashim. It means he's a chacham that makes everybody charashim masker. It says that they were such great chachamim that in their presence nobody would say anything because they recognize that whatever they're going to say is nonsense compared to what he's saying. Now consider how in the writings of the rabbis the admission of a person into discourses on metaphysics is made dependent on distinction in social qualities, the study of philosophy, as well as on the possession of clear-sightedness, intelligence, eloquence, and ability to communicate things by slight allusions. If a person satisfies these requirements, the secrets of the law are confided to him. In the same place, we also read the following passage. The Gemara in Chagiga. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Elazar, "Come, I will teach you Maisa Markova." The reply was, "I am not yet old." Or in other words, "I have not yet become old. I still perceive in myself the hot blood and the rashness of youth." You learn from this that in addition to the above-named good qualities, a certain age is also required. How then can any person speak on these metaphysical themes in the presence of ordinary people, of children, and of women? Okay, I mean, it sounds crazy, right? But I know someone that's going around claiming to teach metaphysics to women's groups. Okay, yeah. It's very important why the Rambam brought that story there. It's more than just meets the eye. Why do you think the Rambam brought that story? The story of Rabbi Yochanan of Elazar? Well, why do you think he brought that story? What is there in that story that stands out as something very interesting, very clear, and also, which is the best example you can give of human limitation? What stands out in the story? Yes, meaning? It means to say the first step in Chochmah is when a person can recognize his own limitations. Very few people today even recognize. They don't want to hear about limitations. Limitations makes them very upset. What do you mean? I'm limited. I can't do it. That's an impossible thing for my mind to entertain. If you tell somebody, look, I have a sod in my semer cover that I want to disclose to you. Do you know anybody who would say, no, don't do it. I'm not ready. I want to think about that. Well, what is it? I'm ready. the idea of limitation, let alone the knowledge of one's limitations. Just the idea of limitation is abhorrent in our society. People don't want to accept such a thing. The ego, the gaiva, is so great that the very idea is distasteful. Let alone a person who really has an accurate knowledge of what their limitations are. That's already a different, that's a more advanced level. Okay? But the Rambam purposely included that story to show that if a person does not have an accurate assessment of their own limitations, doesn't see clearly their own limitations, forget about it. I mean, you can't even talk about this whole area. Forget about it. Don't even try to get involved in it. All right? That's what the Rambam pointed out, the story from Chazal. So the Rambam always points out the godless of Chazal, how they write down the story. There's a lot of depth to it. Not just a simple story. The story, that's precisely what the story is trying to convey. There are Balazar recognize that he's not on love. That's godless Adam. That's a person that might not be ready at that time, but he could be ready in a future date. Alright? But in today's world, no one wants to recognize their limitations. It's something which goes against their emotions. So you know right away the whole thing's impossible. Okay? I think it's extremely important. Alright? With that agdama, what I'm trying to do is to show you that the mere desire for this kind of knowledge is a very base, stems from a very base part of man. It's from man's own fantasies of omnipotence, his own fantasies of of ego and his own fantasies of greatness, which lead him into the path, which takes him basically into areas that he has no business being in, and which, as the Rambam says, leads to his total destruction and his loss of Chaye Olam Haba. It's a serious thing, a serious matter. It's not a matter that we could be indifferent about. It's a very serious matter. There's a people, all these people are running to Kabbalah. You see, they run like this is the greatest thing, without any kind of awareness of danger. You see right away, it's the primitive emotions that are driving them. Okay, of course, the Rambam's like this. He says that he who approaches metaphysical problems without proper preparation is like a person who journeys towards a certain place and on the road falls into a deep pit out of which he cannot rise, and he must perish there. If he had not gone forth but had remained at home, it would have been much better for him. You see, that's what the Rambam is explaining, that people don't realize that where they are is really much better than where they're going. That's what the Rambam is pointing out. Okay. Yeah, the Rambam says again, the majority of scholars, that is to say the most famous in science, are afflicted with this failing, that of hurrying at once to the final results and of speaking about them without treating of the preliminary disciplines, led by folly or ambition to disregard those preparatory studies for the attainment of which they are either incapable or too idle. Some scholars endeavor to prove that these are injurious or superfluous. In other words, on reflection, the truth will become obvious. In other words, what he's saying is that some people try to say that the learning of the knowledge of various areas of Chochmas HaTeva, of sciences, is harmful and injurious. Why? Because the Rambam explains why they say that. You know, the Ibn Ezra says in Hosea, he says, where he mentions, give me Hosea. It's the Ibn Ezra, the Radak quotes the Ibn Ezra, on the Pasuk in Hosea Vav, V'neidah, near the fall of Dasas at Hashem. So he says like this, he says, Kizeh Sod Kol HaChachmas. He says, the Sod Kol HaChachmas is Yedias Hashem. U'bavur Zeh Levado Nivra Adam. He says, and because of this alone man was created, Rak Lo Yuchal Adasas Hashem Ad Sheyilmad Chochmos Harbe Shehen Kemo Sulam Lalos Elzos HaMailo HaElyono. Okay? That's exactly what the Rambam is saying. That you have to learn Chochmas Harbe in order to reach the level of the Yedias Hashem. It's necessary to have Chochmas Harbe. But Rambam says that people who are either arrogant or ambitious will maintain these things are bad, as a matter of fact. Don't study these things because since they don't have that knowledge, so therefore they have to say, the Rambam mentions it, it's a teva of a person, gaiva is an intrinsic part of a person, therefore things that the person doesn't know, he will immediately deprecate. That kind of knowledge is not important because he doesn't have it, you see? Okay, that's what the Rambam is saying, basically. Okay. This is Shitas Rambam. There is nothing in which we ever discussed that anybody, the Ramban, or anybody disagrees with. These are Sodia Das, basically. Okay. With regard to the Kabbalah, the Ramban had a different Shita. And this everybody's familiar with. And I'll show you what his Shita is. Okay. But he has it in his Hakdama to the Sefer Ramban, on the Chumash. Okay. So look at it. He says, Vani hinani mevi, it's right at the end, last paragraph. Vani hinani mevi bebris nemenes, vianosenes, eitzo genes, lachol mestakel besefer hazeh. That a person, anyone looks in the sefer, leval yizbar svara, shouldn't try to work it out with reason, val yachshov machshavos, shouldn't attempt to understand it with thoughts, bedovar mikol haramazim, asher ani kosev besisri haTorah. Shouldn't try to think about or use his intellect with regard to anything that I quote from the Ramazan, which he quotes, that, of course, he understood very well also, you're not allowed to write down any of these things. So he says, anything I write in Sisri HaTorah, because I'm telling him in truth, shelo yusogu devarai, he will not be able to understand my words, v'lo yivadu klal, they will not be able to understand b'shum seichel uvina, with any kind of understanding or knowledge, zulasi mipi mekubol chacham la'ozen makbil mevin. Okay, unless you have it from a person who is a mekubol, all right, who is a mekubol ish mipiish. Vasvara b'ani velas machshava. He says machshava moelas rabas hanizokin. He says, and thinking into these things is going to cause great harm. Minuas hatoelas doesn't give any benefit. Okay, he says kilo sivoeu bisvarosav rak ra, because the only thing that's going to happen to him is only evil. He says ki yedabra l'ashem sara, because if they try to do it, they're going to speak against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asher lo yuchlu kapara, they can't be forgiven for it. Shenemar adam to miderach haseichel bikal refoim yanuach al yasu el Hashem liros ki et Hashem lakenu eish ochlo kel kano v'hu yiras ritzuyov mitaraso niflos avol yechezu bepirushenu chidushim bepshatim and medrashim. He says, let them look at the other part of my chibur, the perushim and chidushim, the yichum musar mipirabosainu hakadoshim, let them take musar from chazal, which is begodl memcho al tidrash, bechozek memcho al tachkor, bemufla memcho bal teda, bemechus memcho al tishal, bemashehur shiso is boning, the ain locho esik ministaros. So what does Ramban say basically? He gives a very strong warning, similar to the Rambam's warning, the same thing basically, that don't try to think that you, if you're going to try to think you understand these things, you're only fooling yourself, and you're going to go into a place from where you can't return, where you're going to lose your chelek in Olam Haba. You'll go against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you try to do that. B'mufla memcha al tidrash. That's what the Ramban says. And Ramban maintained that he had a Mesorah. Only mekubal mipiish mipiish. And the Ramban maintained that he did have a kabbalish mipiish, which went back basically, it went through his Rebbe Reb Ezra, through Yitzchak Saginor, the son of the Ravid, and the Ravid through Ravid's father-in-law, and all chain. The Ramban had a Masari Ishmi Piyish. Ramban claimed he had a Masari Ishmi Piyish. Okay? Yeah. The Ramban denies that there is such a Masari. The Ramban claimed he had a Masari like that. Okay. That is the difference between the Rambam and the Ramban. But there is no difference in terms of practicality, because whichever sheet you take, the result is exactly the same, precisely the same. Namely, anyone that indulges in these kind of things is simply going to lose their chelek in Olam Haba, lose their emunah, and are going to be in a situation from which they can't escape, in which they've caused themselves devastating harm. So for all intents and purposes, whether it's Shitas or Rambam, or whether it's Shitas or Ramban, Kabbalah is a dead issue, does not exist. Yes? He says the only one that can understand those Ramazan is someone who has an Ishmi Piyish. Okay? Now, no one today has Ishmi Piyish, so the whole thing is just a butler of a... Yes? There may Sfarim around. I'm not talking about Sfarim. I'm saying this. Involvement in Kabbalah, or to say that there are books around that reveal ideas that can raise you to a higher level by indulging in them, is a falsehood. It's a lie. There is no such thing exists. The Ramban said it, and the Rambam said it. Period. That's it. So anyone that does this, anyone that indulges in this kind of thing, is simply, you know, one thing. He saw Me'achre Hashem. They will lose their chelek in Olam Haba, and they'll find themselves in a place where they simply cannot escape. The harm is in it. Ain't lo kapara, the Ramban says. Same thing as the Rambam, exact same thing. No difference. You take your choice. Ram, Ramban. So the Ramban is the Rosh HaMekubalim, B'chol Markam. That's the Ravi said. Ramban is Rosh HaMekubalim. Okay. Yeah. For all intents and purposes, whatever safe you have is not written. Because it's not written means that it's communicating, it's capable. When you have a written word, it means it's capable of communication. There is nothing capable of communication, of ideas, of Kabbalah in writing. Cannot be such things, against the Mishnah, against the Halacha. It's impossible. Okay? That's according to everybody. I don't know what it is. The Ramban says in his Pirush and Chumash you can't study it. Ramban says in his own Pirush and Chumash. Okay? So this is the Ramban and the Rambam, the Rosh HaMekubalim and the Rambam, who's basically one of the Amudim of the Balei HaMasora that everyone accepts. And you have from these two sources. That's it. You don't need any more. It's clear. Yeah. Yeah, let me explain it. The Ramban accepts the premise of the Rambam without a doubt. The Ramban never claimed different means of thinking. No. The Ramban says that you must have the system. In other words, you cannot, with your own mind, intuit that. It's like a person trying to intuit Euclid's geometry. I mean, it's not the exact same thing. It's a different kind of thing. It's that you could intuit. Yeah. It means it is a system, and it is a system of chachma, but you cannot figure it out unless you know the given. There's a given there. Just like you couldn't figure out, tayag mitzvahs. Tell somebody, figure out tayag mitzvahs. It's impossible. Couldn't figure out one mitzvah. I mean, maybe Mechavan Avos Hashem, maybe he's a philosopher. But I mean to say, in the structural mitzvahs, tefillin, tzitzis, mezuzah, you never figure out a thing like this. So the same thing over here, you have to have a given, basically. But once you have the given, what did the Ramban use? He used the chachma, the same method. But he's saying you cannot intuit it unless you have it al yedei mesora. And the Rambam agrees. The Rambam himself does not disagree with this, because the Rambam says himself that I don't know if what I'm saying is really the pshat and the pasuk, but there was a mesora. He says it could be it is, could be it isn't. I'm the no. Okay? But insofar as the ideas of what it is, you understand that it's an intellectual discipline goes without saying. Okay, no one says the different mystical methods of it. Ramban say to go into a trance and see what I'm talking about. Okay, I mean there's no doubt about it that you have two positions. You can't deny the Ramban's position is different. Not that there. By the way, I want you to understand something. It's not that the Ramban says that what the Rambam says is wrong. You see what he says? He says people don't understand the depth of the Maran Avochim. The Ramban understood the Maran Avochim, but the Ramban held that the Maran Avochim was basically like his. I mean, I'm not talking about how the Rambam interprets the Ma'aseh Merkava. I mean, I don't think Ramban's talking about that. But I'm talking about the general principle. The Ramban held that this was Al pi sechel, tremendous chachma, and people just don't understand it. I mean, but he held that there's another system that he received that he used chachma and understanding. Okay, but the other things in the Mara that's revealed in the Mara, the other things that are revealed in the Mara are all the Ramban quotes them. Ramban quotes them in the Chumash and goes, well, why? It's not that it's wrong. He held that there's something else besides that. There's a different system that the Rambam wasn't using, because the Rambam only went from his own seichel, like the Rambam says. Okay, but the Ramban held there was another system that he was mekabel, and which he understood, and he used his chachma in comprehending that system. But you can't have that system. There's no access to the system unless you have Vishmi Piyish. Okay, all we know is that it's a system of chachma. That's right. But apparently there's certain things that you can't you have to have. Yes, yeah. Okay. I tell you, I mean, I'll speak out against a certain sefer. I Kaplan wrote a sefer. It's called the Sefer HaYetzira. Okay, sefer. It is a terrible. Basically that sefer is a toeva. I mean, absolute toeva. And you see that when they get into. And when the primitive emotions start coming out, it comes out in horrible ways. He says things about Nevi'im and Mara. It's Asa L'Shomon. I mean, horrible things. All kinds of sexual, sick ideas. I mean, sick, very sick things. Because they're driven by primitive emotions. And he thinks that he's being Megala. I mean, sodas. Not sodas, it's sick kind of sick material. So these books are basically all... Ari Kaplan, yeah. And he dismisses the Rambam like the Rambam didn't know anything about Kabbalah, and he has the earlier sources.
The next 15 seconds of tape are intentionally left out.
talking about his book that he calls Sefer. He has what was called the Sefer Yetzirah in there. He has it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the book he wrote on it. Okay, his ideas, his sources, and his ideas, and his things, and his style. He put in things from himself in there. Okay. Look, if you ask me what would happen if the Rambam saw the Ramban's Mesorah, Ish mi piyish, would he accept it or not? I cannot answer such a question. I mean, other than give you my own opinion, which is, my own opinion is he would not. Okay. You know, I mean, the Ramban made a decision in Ish mi, you have to make a Chacham has to make a decision. So the Ramban made a decision that it was authentic. Whether the Rambam would make the same decision is not so clear. Not so clear. My opinion, if the Rambam, the way the Rambam writes in the Mora, and the way he's convinced that there is no such system in existence, is basically what he's saying is that it doesn't exist, and I do not believe he would accept the Ramban system. That's my personal opinion. I'm just telling you my personal opinion. The Rambam said it did exist. You have a machlokis over here on a basic thing in Sisrei Torah, but I'm showing you what the extent of the machlokis is. Okay, it's not the Ramban holds what the Rambam wrote is crazy. Chas v'shalom. But whether the Rambam would accept that ish mi pi ish, I mean, of course, it's something you can't say. I'm just telling my opinion he wouldn't. But you have a big machlokis here because the Rambam says emphatically it's non-existent. Okay, but also because of another reason, I would say, because the Rambam says that he may not have the real pshat in the psukim, but at the same time he says he may have the real pshat in the psukim, and the Ramban seems to say that it's impossible. Okay, it's impossible unless it's ish mi piyish. I mean, the Ramban seems to say that unless of course you can say the Ramban's writing to the reader. You can get into all kinds of crazy things about me, but I'm just saying basically it's a machlekes. You have to have in Yahadis, you have to have a certain intellectual tolerance. You have machlokis, and that's it. I mean, that's it. There's plenty to learn, okay? Exactly. Practically, it makes no difference.
What about the
Gra? The Gra, all you can say about the Gra is we don't know about the Gra, because, again, with the Gra, the many, many different things are written about on complete sheker and lies and things, and it's a very difficult thing. No one knows. And if he did have, he wouldn't be allowed to tell it anyways. So that's it. No, the Gra. Well, let me put it this way: if the Gra did, we can't say what the Gra understood or didn't understand. We can't say that. But if he understood it, he wouldn't write it. That's for sure, because that's a Mishnah. So this we know. We know certain things. We know a Mishnah. That we know. Okay. So it doesn't make any difference again. By the way, there is a sefer called Eidus Nemona that was written under the auspices of Ravan Kotler Zatzal about the Gra. It's called Ruach Aliyo, because of the fact that there's so many stories about the Gra that are unauthentic things, that Ravan Kotler supervised the writing of the sefer Eidus Nemona, which are supposed to be things that are definitely definite about the Gra. One of the things is, by the way, is a big machlokas there in that sefer, whether what the Gra wrote in Hilchos Avos Kochavim against the Rambam, whether that's authentic. Because one of the Talmidei HaGra said it's a forgery, and he says the Gra never wrote that way, it's not a style, and it's a forgery. Somebody else said no, they saw it in his Ksav Yad, it's a whole machlokas. All I can tell you is a big machlokas about that Gra, whether that Gra is authentic or not. But anyways, there is one thing that no one argues about the Gra, a story that happened in Vilna, where someone was teaching the Mor Nevuchim named Menchel Amarev. And they came to the Gra and they objected. And the Gra said, HaSefer HaKadosh HaZeh SheKosav HaRambam, he says, I should be makben on this Sefer. He says, HaLavai SheEyeh B'mechitzasa. That's what I said. That's authentic. Okay? That's authentic. So the things that you hear, the spurious things that you hear, don't give any credence to, and it is just all stems from primitive emotions that base people have who can't even learn a Tosfos and think that they understand great mysteries. They can't even learn a Tosfos and a Marsha properly, and they think they can understand great mysteries. That obviously is shtus vevel. Okay, I mean, you understand what the Ram says. It has to be chacham charash. It means to say, like the Rav one time said, a person has no right to voice his opinion on philosophy of Yadus. He means these areas, unless he's like Kepler. He says Kepler, they said, had the stars at his fingertips. It means that that's how strong his Yedias HaTorah is. That's how great his Yedias HaTorah is. And the people that are involved in these things, they can't even learn a pshat in the Taisus. Alright, you want to know about the people, the Arizal, and this and that. All I'm telling you is like this. All this type of thing is idle curiosity, and is Dvarim Shel Hevel V'Rik, because it makes no difference what a particular person was or wasn't. That's Kadosh Baruch Hu is Bochein Levavos. We don't know, and there's no reason. You want to read things, there are accounts of these people, curiosity, idle curiosity, fine. But it's a bittles amount of waste of time, and it's nonsensical and worthless. You're curious and want to read about people that are great? Yeah. So you have Moshe Rabbeinu, you have Avraham Avinu, you have all Torah about people that you know. The Torah recorded it, Tanakh and Avim recorded, in order that you should be able to learn from them. Those are the people you should learn. Okay. I mean, this is something I explained once before. The Rambam talks about the natural law. And the Rambam talks about physics. I mean, they translate it as physics. It's not really what we call physics. I don't understand that. It's not exactly what we call physics. There's no other the translations you have to understand are, when the Rambam says intellect, it doesn't mean what an average person thinks intellect means. Okay, an average intellect means a smart person. He's a good mathematician. He's intellectual. He's intelligent. It's not what the Rambam means by these terms. The terms are not translated properly. Those terms don't exist really in English, because a language is based upon the phenomena that the language is trying to make an abstraction of. Okay, so for instance, if we have an idea of a chacham in Yahadis, so there's a word chacham, but the word chacham that we use, you're not going to find in English, because there is no word for it, because they don't have such a phenomenon. Understand what I'm saying? See, they have a mathematician, a genius, a wise man. None of these terms are accurate translations of the word chacham. What we mean by chacham is this very special thing. We mean a person who has a certain intellectually developed, and who can apply, who has learned how to think properly, precise thinking, who has a creative mind and a correct intuition, and who applies his mind, that faculty, to every aspect of his life. There's no word like that. There's no word in English like that. Okay? So I'm just showing you that the words that we have in our Torah and in our Tanakh cannot be translated, because the phenomena doesn't exist in the regular world. English language is based on the experiences of the people, and every time you have an experience, you make up a word, because you want to relate it in an abstract way. But if you don't have the experience, you don't have the entity, so you can't. There's no word for it. Okay, so all these things, the translations are very big. You have to realize when you read them over, the translations are not accurate. Intellectual doesn't mean what we call an intellectual, and physics, what the Rambam means by physics, you have to know a little bit about Aristotle to know what he means by physics. Physics means it's a whole type of perfection of reasoning vis-a-vis certain basic principles of the universe. Okay, it's a different. There's different meaning than today's physics. It's not the same thing. Yeah, Maisa Bereshis, what he's talking about, Maisa Bereshis, is certain aspects of the natural law, which are not exactly what we call creation. You know, I mean, the theories of creation is not, Ram would not call that the Maisa Bereshis, I guarantee you. It's a different thing he means. The truth of the matter is, I mean, you want to talk about, what is Kabbalah? Kabbalah means, it means that a person will reveal secrets, things that were unknown about Torah. Take a look at Rashi and Yeshayahu. There's no such thing as this whole idea of a mystical kind of thing, which people get from even hearing the word Kabbalah, is itself puzzle. Okay, if you take a look at Rashi on Ashafta Mayim Besasa Mimayim Yeshua. Take a look at Yeshayahu. Okay, and show it off. Take a look at that. What does he say? He says the Melech here. Sure. Isn't that the Pasuk is the Ushaftim Mayim Besasa Mayim Yeshua? It's Yeshayahu Yud Beis Gimel. So Rashi says Mimayne HaYeshua Ki Yarchiv Libam Al Yedei Yeshua Haba'a Lahem V'Yizgalu Lahem Rozei HaTorah Shemishtakhu B'Bavel Al Yedei HaTzaras.
at the Russians. That's Rosh HaTorah. What does Rosh HaTorah mean? It means things that were unknown will at that time be revealed, because people will acquire chokhmah, you see, and they'll understand that they'll see chokhmah satara will be glaring, and certain things which they never saw before, like David HaMelech says, galenai v'abitin aflos mitarasecha, certain things will become very clear and transparent and amazing that they didn't understand, they didn't see the ideas of Torah. That's what it means. Okay? But yeah, but you don't look at the rest of the Gemara. The Gemara says who they're referring to, a certain Rishonim. It doesn't mean every generation has to be less and less. I mean, it doesn't necessarily doesn't mean that. It says which Rishonim, it mentions it, a certain Tanayim. So you have to understand, these people try to promote this kind of involvement. It's for their own agenda, because they are very insecure if it's not accepted by other people. Because it's not really a knowledge, it's a kind of a belief. And like I said before, when a person is just based on belief, he gets very insecure if somebody else believes just the opposite. So they always feel secure if they get more people. They get very excited to get more people involved in it, then they feel that they're on the right path. Okay? But it's a very dangerous thing. There's a Rav going around, I mean, I don't remember his name, a Rav going around, and he gives his tapes out on Kabbalah. I mean, it's basically... He claims, you know, I mean, they always say the same thing. He says, I was a rationalist years ago, but now I became a mystic. The only problem is, if you listen to his to his lectures, you see, he couldn't be much of a rationalist. He doesn't have much of a mind. So, I mean, I don't know if he's a rationalist. But it's always the same story. It's basically amaratzis. And the reason why they become mystics is because they can't find answers to basic problems through their own intelligence, because they're not capable of it. So therefore, there's an easy way out, and that's these mystical kind of beliefs, explains everything. How is it possible? Tzadik Varolo and Rasha Vatovlo? So you give a very simple answer, Gilgulim. Gilgulim? That's it, very easy. Now you can feel at peace. The child died at a very young age, but it was a very holy neshama. Unfortunately, the way they explain it, it doesn't come out to them, because it comes out he was really a Russian and came back to get an owner. But anyway, I don't know why it's satisfying to the person. But anyway, they, you know, these type of cheshbonos work out, and no more problem. You can take Sefer Eiv, throw it away. Okay. It's really like, it's like simple answers that stem from the emotions to big problems that the godless of Yehadis is Yehadis recognizes a problem. Yehadis recognizes a problem. They have cash, tesis, cash, no answer. Doesn't know. We're not afraid to recognize problems. These people can't tolerate certain problems because they're issues that are constantly bothering them. It bothers them because of the smallness of their mind, because basically they're really Oved Amanas L'Kabal Pras. And since they're all not called pras, they see the pras doesn't work out. Because according to the Echeshbin, why should this happen to this person or to themselves or whatever it is? So the whole system is not, it doesn't work out. So they have big problems. So the way it answers is mystical, kind of nonsensical things that satisfy them. The truth of the matter is, if they recognize the fact that the Torah is the good, and you have no choice but to live in the Derech HaTorah, the whole kasha becomes academic. I mean, they never even think of that. I mean, you understand what I mean? So what are you going to say? So let's say, according to your opinion, you don't see the justice. Okay, so it bothers you, right? Yeah, but what are we going to do? You're not going to get the Torah? Is it going to make things better or worse? Hey, still use it. It's like a person saying, look, I lost my arm, I cut off my other arm. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's because they don't perceive the godless Torah intrinsically, so they're disturbed with certain questions, and the only answer for their childish mode of behavior is a mystical kind of answer. You understand? So they have to have this as a belief. Otherwise, really, truth of the matter is, otherwise they leave the whole system. Because they're really looking for a Kabbal Pras. They don't understand the whole system altogether. Alright, it's base emotions. Anyways. Somebody asked me to define mysticism. Now, mysticism is the uncovering of truths or certain realities. The uncovering of truth or reality with some method other than the human mind. Okay? According to the Hadith, even Nevuah is via human intelligence. Because the only difference between Nevuah and between ordinary methods is that in ordinary methods you have to go through the senses, and Nevuah goes, registers, bypasses the senses and registers on the mind directly. Okay, I have to study the Ram for that. But anyways, but once whatever registers there, the Navi must interpret. The Navi must interpret. He uses his mind and his intelligence to interpret it. So the Ibn Ezra says in the beginning of Yonah, that means that Yonah ran away. What do you mean he ran away? It means he refused to study what he received. Okay? Because the Navi has to work on what he receives and uncover it. And work it out. He has to work on understanding it logically. Okay, there's of course, as I said last time, the mystical world today, what people today call Kabbalah, is pure Avodah Zarah, without any doubt. It's pure Avodah Zarah, and anyone that studies their things will find that these things that they talk about are found in the most primitive societies on earth. The most primitive tribes believe in all these things, and that itself, if nothing else, is 100% proof that this is total nonsense. Okay? Because you cannot tell me that the most primitive tribes have access to areas of great chokhmah. That's just impossible. They're the stupidest people. They know nothing about the universe, about the earth or anything, their environment. I mean, and they live on superstition and totally nonsensical ideas. They couldn't do the most simple mathematical equation. They couldn't compute. So these people are utterly stupid, and they believe in all these same things with which these so-called mystics believe in. So it's pretty obvious that these things are crass stupidities, and that's precisely why the Torah asked them. Okay? Okay? There's intuition which is worthless, and that is the common intuition, okay, or what people used to refer to as woman's intuition, which means simply that the things that you're used to, you're always going to project. Whatever you're used to becomes part of your life. So if something is new, your intuition goes against it. That the Rambam says that's just stupidity. There's intellectual intuition, which is a different phenomenon. It comes from the mind, like an argument between Niels Bohr and Einstein. That's not based on ordinary intuition. That's intellectual intuition. Every machlokes is an intellectual intuition. It's a different thing altogether. Okay. I mean, I think I've spoken about that at length at other times. Now, the question, of course, that you should ask, I mean, as I mentioned last time, what Chazal point out is, the story in Chazal mentioned in Chagigah, what they're trying to point out is the fact that precisely the one that wants to know these secrets is the one that's not fit to know. Okay? That's what Chazal point out. Now, Rabbi Yechon said to Rabbi Ozal, I'll teach you Mais and Merkavah. He says, look, Kashishi, I'm not old enough. He said, I'm not ready for it. So you see that the desire to know, any person that feels, and most practically old people, and especially old people today in Kabbalah feel, if you go over to them and say, look, I can really tell you something, an idea, a very deep idea in Kabbalah, then no one would feel that it's going to harm them. They're all ready, there's no problem. As a matter of fact, they're just ready to go and have a desire to go. This is just a childish curiosity. These people have got about childish curiosity, and they have no concept of their own limitations, because they're not functioning on an intellectual level at all. I mean, these are just people that, you have to understand that Chazal say a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham works in a different way. His whole mind is different, operates in a different way than Yama Aretz. Yama Aretz is just full, is just made to his emotions. That's it. And all these people are Amay Aretz. I mean Amay Aretz, I don't mean Amay Aretz in the sense they don't know how to learn tomorrow. I mean, now they are, in the sense that they're just children. They're just functioning in a child. They've never come out of the childish state. You understand what I'm saying? Talmud Chacham is one that his whole mind is different. He functions in a completely different manner with regard to everything he does. His inner mechanism has been changed through knowledge. Everything about him, the components of his mind, how he functions, completely different. And everything he looks at is completely different. He sees a whole different world than the ordinary person. Now, the ordinary person, one of the signs of the ordinary person is that anytime if you tell him, you'll explain something to him, teach him some of the deep, dark secrets of Kabbalah, he'll run to listen. That's the This is precisely the ordinary fool, the Amharis, okay? That's the mark of the Amharis, okay? So Chazal did that story to teach you what the difference is. Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Yechon, Torah, Lord, wasn't already. It's a different mind, it's a whole different world. Okay. Now it's obvious that all these people today that are into mysticism, they fulfill all the requirements for the Amharis. There's no question about it. And therefore, the results of their ideas are complete avodah zarah, basically. And I told you,
anything you'll find there, what they call today's mysticism, they all know. See, years ago, people would come up with some of these things and say, these are deep secrets, you know? But today, it's a funny thing. Today, even though it's harder, more difficult to pass it off, because the fact is, everyone knows that all these primitive, these Hindus and these and the Eastern religions, they all have all the same stuff. All these, the Gilgulim and all these things, and the Ayahuasca, all the same things, all found among the most primitive tribes. And today it's known. I mean, you know, years ago people didn't have access to this. But today these things have been documented. And all these things that these Bali Kabbalah believe in are all basically primitive things found among all the goyim of the world. Okay? So they obviously cannot contain any secrets of Yahadis. That's an impossibility. But years ago a lot of people didn't know. And even today a lot of people don't really know what these primitive tribes believe in. But when the so-called today's Bali Kabbalah are confronted with this, then of course they say, yeah, these people have some kind of access to some kind of truth. It's obviously anyone that says that is simply talking out of a plain stupidity. They're stupid. People have nothing. They don't know what's up. The answer is pretty clear that what these people's knowledge and their beliefs in these things do not stem from any kind of rational investigation or any kind of secret knowledge. It's simply components of the human mind that psychoanalysis has uncovered as the unconscious. And psychology has shown that these are parts, dark parts of the human mind, because they come from primitive early parts of man, which are later developed over and relegated to the background of the human mind. But these people are acting out these emotions because they've never advanced, and they're simply just like a human being in a dream. They function on that same level. So a primary level of function. That's obvious to anyone who studies these things. It becomes pretty clear what's going on there. It's not that all these people all over the world are suddenly the stupidest people are the greatest chachamim. I mean, this is nonsense. This is an expression of the primitive part of the mind which produces avodah zarah, produces kishur, and all these other things. And that's why you find it common among all these people. Okay, this is precisely what Yadus is asir, as the Rambam says, because this is what Ibn Ezra says. He says, Ibn Ezra says, so some people think that the Torah asir these things, they're true, but you're not supposed to do them. He says, Vani Omar, he says, the Torah only answered the sheker, not the emes. Okay? And these things are all sheker. Okay. That's pretty obvious today to anyone that studies the Rambam, unless they want to twist their heads. But anyone with open mind that studies these things sees clearly what's going on here. Okay? There's no need to repeat it. I mean, it's pretty simple. But by the way, they try to impress people with the same things that all the old devotees try to impress with miracle cures and all the same kinds. You listen to any one of them, it's all the same thing. The same thing you find by in the Christian Bible, the same kind of nonsense. It's all the same thing in Africa, the shaman, the same exact stuff. I advise anyone like the Rambam says. The Rambam says, you want to know what this is, just study any of the writings about the primitive tribes, you find all the same stuff there, okay? Yeah, there's one Ibn Ezra on the Pasuk I didn't mention many times, Lassir Mashahim Zonim Acharayim, it's Vayikri Yazayin Zayin. Kikol Mishem Evakesh Osom, anyone that searches after the Shadim, Umamin Bahem, believes in them, Uzonem Mitachas Alokov, Sheyachshov, because he thinks, Kiyesh Mishayeta Vodera, Chutzme Hashem Anir Bodvanora. That's precisely what it is. It's all the Goyim have that, the devil, other powers. That's exactly what Yishayahu HaNavi speaks against. Yishayahu Taras, Einod Movada, all these psukim are trying to make one thing clear, that there are no other powers besides God. And all these people, they really are looking for these powers, and it's exactly like by the eagle, what does it say? Also, the prophet says, Eila Elohecha Yisrael, Asher HaTzisik HaMeret HaShem. Eila. It's Elilim Harbei Nisavolam. So that's the same kind of primitive emotions. I mean, there's no question about it. The other evidence is that people think that the Kishuv has some value, and it says, it's in Vayikra, I don't know, it's where he says, maybe it's a Kedoshah. that he says that lo osra, lo osra Torah, I don't see my sheker. Okay. All right. Yeah. It's Yikra Yudkes Lamed Aleph. Okay. The Altifnol Ovos Vela Yidonim. I Yidonim Yigizras Das. She Yivakshila Das Oasidus. They want another future. Okay, there's again the sign of the primitive mind. The Reiki Moach Omer. And the empty headed people, those who basically have no brains, have said, Mule Shaovos Emes Gamkein Derech Akishit Lo Osram Akasiv. He says, the empty-headed people say if there wasn't anything to this, why was the Torah Aser? That's another one of their arguments. Vani Alma Hepech Devrayim. Ki Akosav Lo Osa Ha'emes Rak HaShekah. Okay? All right, so that's good. That's it. So there's plenty of Reiki Moach around. I mean, there's no problem with that. There's no shortage. The question that you should ask, there is a logical question that you should ask over here, and that is that since the Kabbalah, I mean the real Kabbalah, is hidden and is not fit for an ordinary person to indulge in it, a person should not try to indulge in it. Even if someone would explain an idea to them, I told you, there's no writings at all in Kabbalah that are extant. It's against the Mishnah. The Rambam points it out in the Mishnah, and it's a double push, and that's it. The end of the thing. So, you guys will learn a lesson. So the question, of course, is that since the question you should ask, I mean, this is a good question, if being that that's the case, that we're supposed to keep away from the Kabbalah, right, why is it that we recite every day in our tefillahs that was incorporated into our tefillahs, the Kabbalah? What a strange kind of thing. Right. Every morning in the Birkas Yotzer Or, you say from Yishayahu Navi and from Yechezkel. Okay? Well, Fanin v'chayes HaKodesh Rash Godol Misnasim Liumas Rafim Liumasan Mishabchim the Omen Rukhfar Hashem and Kama. Why do we say that for? Okay, this is what we're saying over here is basically it's Mari Cheskel and Yishayo, which is Maisim Akova. So why is Maisim Akova incorporated into our thoughts? Since we're not supposed to indulge in this area, so why is it incorporated into the tools? Okay? Every day. The answer is very simple. The answer is very straightforward. The answer is that Yahadus maintains that even though there are areas that we don't know, we should have some idea, we must have some fundamental concept about those areas. Okay? And the most fundamental concept is expressed in a very interesting way in the Torah. All right, for instance, so first it says it mentions the. By the way, I mean there's an amazing. Amazing phrase in the Yetzirah. Kel Baruch Gedol Deo Hachin. It was actually added later, but I don't know where. But it's a piyut. Kel Baruch Gedol Deo Hachin Ufal Zorechama. An amazing statement, because in that statement it recognizes that the ultimate chokhmah is understanding the phenomenon, the electromagnetic phenomena. Kel Gedol. Kel bar gedol deo, gedol de heichin ufo'al zorechama. It means the understanding of light, the phenomenon of light, is the basis of understanding the chachma of the universe. And that's, I mean, only recently was this uncovered, this idea. But we have the idea too. It's an amazing statement. Amazing statement. See, the truth of the matter is, there is something very amazing about Yahadus, and it's more amazing than the mystical, but the fool only looks for mystical type of things. There are things in Yahadus that are really amazing. But they're too amazing, because they're amazing in reality. But the fool is looking for it to satisfy a primitive part of his mind, and he does not wish to see that which is truly amazing in the artist.